The great doors of Unseen University are made of Octoron, a metal so unstable that it can only exist in a universe saturated with raw magic. They are impregnable to all force save magic. No fire, no battering ram, no army can breach them. Which is why most ordinary visitors to the university use the back door, which is made of perfectly normal wood and doesn't go around terrorising people or even stand still terrorising people. It had a proper knocker and everything. Granny examined the doorposts carefully and gave a grunt of satisfaction when she spotted what she was looking for. She hadn't doubted that it would be there, cunningly concealed by the natural grain of the wood. She grasped the knocker, which was shaped like a dragon's head, and rapped smartly three times. After a while, the door was opened by a young woman with her mouth full of clothes pegs.
Who on?
She inquired. Granny bowed, giving the girl a chance to take in the pointy black hat with the batwing hatpins. It had an impressive effect. She blushed and, peering out into the quiet alleyway, hurriedly motioned Granny inside. There was a big, mossy courtyard on the other side of the wall, crisscrossed with washing lines. Granny had the chance to become one of the very few women to learn what it really is that wizards wear under their robes, but modestly averted her eyes and followed the girl across the flagstones and down a wide flight of steps. They led into a long, high tunnel lined with archways and, currently, full of steam. Granny caught sight of long lines of washtubs in the big rooms off to the sides. The air had the warm, fat smell of ironing. A gaggle of girls carrying wash baskets pushed past her and hurried up the steps, then stopped halfway up and turned slowly to look at her. Granny set her shoulders back and tried to look as mysterious as possible. Her guide, who still hadn't got rid of her clothes pegs, led her down a side passage into a room that was a maze of shelves piled with laundry. In the very centre of the maze, sitting at a table, was a very fat woman with a ginger wig. She had been writing in a very large laundry book. It was still open in front of her, but was currently inspecting a large stained vest.
"Have you tried bleaching?" she asked.
"Yes, mum,"
said the maid beside her.
"What about tincture of mirrit?"
"Yes, mum. It just turned it blue, mum."
"Well, it's a new one on me," said the laundry woman. "And I have seen brimstone and soot and dragon blood and demon blood and I don't know what else."
She turned the vest over and read the name tape carefully sewn inside.
Grandpony the White. He's going to be Grandpony the Grey if he doesn't take better care of his laundry. I tell you, girl, a white magician is just a black magician with a good housekeeper. Take it."
She caught sight of Granny and stopped.
"Oh, cat, oh,"
said Granny's guide, dropping a hurried curtsy.
Yes, thank you, Cassandra, you may go," said the fat woman. She stood up and beamed at Granny, and with an almost perceptible click, wound her voice up several social classes.
"Pray excuse us," she said. "You find us hall at sixes and sevens, it being washing day and everything. Is this a courtesy call, or may I make so bold as to ask?" She lowered her voice. "Is there a message from the other side?"
Granny looked blank, but only a fraction of a second. The witch marks on the doorpost had said that the housekeeper welcomed witches and was particularly anxious for news of her four husbands. She was also in random pursuit of a fifth, hence the ginger wig, and if Granny's ears weren't deceiving her, the creak of enough whalebone to infuriate an entire ecology movement. Gullible and foolish, the signs had said. Granny withheld judgment because city witches didn't seem that bright themselves. The housekeeper must have mistaken her expression.
"Don't be afraid," she said. "May staff have distinct instructions to welcome witches, although, of course, they upstairs don't approve. No doubt you would like a cup of tea and something to eat?"
Granny bowed solemnly.
"And I will see if we can't find a nice bundle of old clothes for you, too."
The housekeeper beamed.
"Old clothes? Oh, yes, thank you, ma'am." The housekeeper swept forward with a sound like an elderly tea clipper in a gale and beckoned Granny to follow her.
I'll have the tea brought to my flat.
Tea with a lot of tea leaves.
Granny stumped along after her.
Old clothes? Did this fat woman really mean it? The nerve!
Of course, if they were good quality. There seemed to be a whole world under the university. It was a maze of cellars, cold rooms, still rooms, kitchens and sculleries, and every inhabitant was either carrying something, pumping something, pushing something, or just standing around and shouting. Granny caught glimpses of rooms full of ice and others glowing with the heat from red-hot cooking stoves, wall-sized. Bakeries smelled of new bread and tap rooms smelled of old beer. Everything smelled of sweat and wood smoke. The housekeeper led her up an old spiral staircase and unlocked the door with one of the large number of keys that hung from her belt. The room inside was pink and frilly. There were frills on things that no one in their right mind would frill. It was like being inside candy floss. Very nice, said Granny, and because she felt it was expected of her. Tasteful. She looked around for something unfrilly to sit on and gave up.
Whatever am I thinking of? The housekeeper trilled. I'm Mrs. Whitlow, but I expect you know, of course, and I have the honour to be addressing.
Eh?
Oh, Granny Weatherwax, said Granny. The frills were getting to her. They gave Pink a bad name.
I'm psychic myself, of course, said Mrs. Whitlow.